This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
So I'm going to speak about something, but I stood at the back and I realized that I didn't work it in. So I'm going to say it from the get-go so that everyone understands it. But if I look around, I would assume that everyone knows this. So everything that I'm going to speak about tonight is only, except for my Armenian friend, is only being, or you can only happen by the grace of God, right? So we could put effort in it and whatever, but it's only by the grace of God, whatever I'm going to share with you tonight, that it is able to happen. Okay, so I just want everyone to understand that, and if you don't understand that part, then afterwards you can just have a chat with Debia. because he has his kid with him, and I don't. I want to go home and still cuddle. Okay. So I have so much to say. So I'm going to try and focus. So it's slightly bigger than the last time. I think I spoke about 2 weeks ago. And I'm just going to sort of share briefly on that. A couple of weeks ago, I think it was three weeks ago. Okay, so 3 weeks ago, thank you for not making me a liar. 3 weeks ago, I shared a little bit of my life. Was jij was hier niet? Was jij hier? Okay. So I shared a little bit of my life, I became slightly vulnerable. And so what I shared on was being isolated and sort of not having any friends. It's awkward when you would go to people, I don't have any friends, because it looks like everyone around me has friends. But anyway, so I shared what happens when you don't have friends and when you become isolated. So and you become roxier. You know, so I became very isolated. I became everything just falls apart. So if you don't have friends, if you don't have accountability, just on accountability, I realized that I didn't share last time that we can see that there's an issue around relationships because we have now groups for accountability, which is sad because that's what friendships are there for. It's cool that we have those groups now, but that should not be there. That's what friendships are for, and so we should never go to that place of accountability. We should now because we don't have friends, but we should never have, in the beginning, have those accountability groups. So what happens when we don't have friends? I shared on that for a bit, and then I shared that we sort of made a sacrifice. We decided that we're going to trust God, move into a bigger space, and start inviting people to our houses. And this is really cool. And I'm not going to mention these people's names tonight. I'm just going to share some of their stories just because I'm scared that they'll be embarrassed about the stuff that I'm going to share. But we started inviting people to our houses because we were really hungry for relationships. And so we started, a lot of you guys, we really want to invite, but it sort of happens like this. We come to church, and my wife goes, what are we going to eat? And I go, I don't know, do we have money? And she says, yes, we do. And I go, okay, cool, the guy that I'm speaking to right now, you coming to our house. So this is how it works. So I invite people to houses, so we start building a relationship because we haven't had that in a while, and we invite them to our houses, have conversations, and then it becomes really weird because it's people in our church, and so it's you that come to our house. And I have this preconceived idea of who you are because I haven't had that special relationship with you. So I have this idea because you've been in our church for 10 years, you've been in our church for 5 years, you've been this, whatever. And so you come to my house for one or two occasions and then you start swearing really profusely. And I go, well, that's good. I didn't know that about you. Or your kid, so this is not you, or your kid goes, so daddy, Are you going to get drunk tonight again? It's funny, but check how serious this is. Or your wife, this is the truth. So I'm standing next to the bride. There's a lady that and her husband and a family that we invited to our house, and so she starts making me feel uncomfortable. So I go to my wife afterwards. I said, "Is this busy happening?" And she goes, "No, not them." Okay, cool. Let's invite them next week, and you just check it out. And so you've been in my church for forever, and you start hitting on me. My wife's right there. Your husband's right there, and it's weird. And so my wife goes, "We're not going to invite them. We're not going to invite them." I go, "Hallelujah that they're in our house." Because if we do not invite them back again, then that's just going to continue somewhere else. Then daddy is going to get drunk somewhere else. Or wife is going to do that somewhere else. Or those big words that I have not heard in a while. It's serious. I'm going, wow, that's voice notes. Did you just work that into, I don't know, or just really comfortable? That's going to happen somewhere else. But now they're in our house, now you are in our house, and I could sort of figure out, and let me say this also. So we invite people to our house on, I'm not going to mention the date, so in this week somewhere. We invite them in our house, and so I used to love red wine a lot, so there's always red wine in my house, even though I don't drink. So there's always, because I enjoy buying red wine for other people, I enjoy it when they enjoy it. So there's always red wine, so I give them, you guys want red wine, I've got this, and so I just take it back, just take that, and we pour red wine. So the couple sits down, and the house is chaos, because we have to, and they have about 40 million, it feels like it. And so they sit down, and call it Dear Beer because he hasn't got 40 million yet. So the lady sits down. I don't know if they don't have friends. Probably not. She sits down and she goes, "Konrad, Cornei. So Dear Beer just destroyed us financially. We're in so much trouble." Okay, wow, that's serious. I was thinking wine, maybe pasta, laughs. Okay. So my wife goes, "Oh, but my Conrad destroyed us financially." Just sort of worked that in. And it was a cool friendship. Well, it's starting to be a cool friendship now. But the thing is, if I did not invite those people to our houses, they would not have known that I destroyed us financially. And I would not have known that they are destroyed financially. I'm just going to skip a verse ahead because I was thinking that I should just mention Proverbs 17:17. So it's easy to 17:17. Oh, so my topic, I don't have slides. My topic is friends to brothers. So friends to brothers. I love the word brother. A friend loves at all time, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. I read a poem the previous time, but the reason why the way I got introduced to this poem was I was invited to this Facebook group. By the way, social media just makes it worse. That's probably the reason that most of us don't have friends. Anyway, so I was invited to this group, and then I'll tell you what the group is later. It's a specific type of people. And I was invited to this group, and so the first thing that I saw on this Facebook page was brothers. Check this out. And so I paused for a moment. I went, brothers. We know that word to be sort of biblical, right? But How many of you call one another brother or feel that you have those relationships? When it said brother, I went, oh, I really want that. I want that. I do have a brother. He's a bit weird. Some of you know him. He's got long hair, he's pale skin. I think he's got a piercing either there or there. He's a weird guy. But I long for that brother that guy said right there. I long for that thing. So that's why I like the scripture, and I'll unpack it a bit later on. A friend loves at all times. A brother is born in a time of adversity. Anyway, so let's skip to, I should have set this up. 1 Samuel, verse 20. So most of you know this. Then David fled and came and said before Jonathan, "What have I done? What is my guilt? And what is my sin before your father that he seeks my life?" And he said to him, "Far from it. You shall not die. Behold, my father does nothing either great or small before disclosing it to me. And why should my father hide it from me? Is it not so?" But David vowed again. Before I go to the vow. So David goes to Jonathan and says, "Your dad wants to kill me." Jonathan says, "There's no way that my dad wants to kill you, because my dad says, everything that my dad does, he says to me." But just if you read the chapter before, who was Jonathan's dad? There we go. So just the chapter before, Jonathan's dad wanted to kill David or was busy trying to seek David and kill him. So obviously Jonathan doesn't know about this. So David makes a vow. He says to his friend, "Your father knows well that I have found favor in your eyes. And he thinks, do not let Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord lives and as your son soul lives, there is but a step between me and death." Weird vow. So he goes, I belove of you. This is serious. I'm making a vow. Your dad wants to kill me. And we miss a small part, and I'm going to tell you that part now. Then Jonathan said, "Whatever you say, I will do." Jonathan listened to the vow, and he said, "Whatever you say, I will do." So we go, this is a really cool relationship between Jonathan and David. This is a really cool relationship. But just imagine this, if your dad, that doesn't matter if your dad's the king, but now you make a vow against your dad. That's going to happen next. Against your dad. It's not you're making a vow against someone, it's against your dad, the king. It's a big deal. Against your dad. So you're going, I don't have a dad, so this is a horrible example, but let's say I did. I go, Johannes, I'm just going to go against my dad's will, and then we're going to take the house, we're going to take the car, we're going to take everything. So you have to help me because you're a really good lawyer and we can sort that out. This is what he's doing. He's going, David, I stand next to you. Guy, I stand next to you. It's a big deal. You know what kings did back then to guys like that, to sons like that? I heard, I don't know if I heard it or read it. There was a king, it wasn't too long ago, and I forget his name. So what it did is he left to another, so it's one of, somewhere in Africa. So he left to another country to go and speak to someone. And anyway, so his son got captured. And at gunpoint, they told his son that he should hand over the radio stations, and he should hand over the military, and should hand over to these guerrilla people, guerrilla warriors. And so he did that. And eventually, so his dad heard about it. His dad flew back, and he organized the army, and everyone set up, and they got his son back. And so his son got back to his dad, and eventually he saw his dad again. And his dad said, "Why did you do this? Why did you go against my will?" His dad was really gun against my head. Really difficult scenario. And he says, I would have been proud to be at your funeral. So Jonathan is going against his dad as a king. And he says, David, brother, I'm with you on this. And so we all know the story. We all know that he says to David, listen, they organize a sort of, you go into the field, I shoot arrows, servant runs this way, servant runs that way. This is the scenario, and they make a big plan about it. And I'm going to have this conversation with my dad. So the next day, you know the conversation, right? Or if you want to read it, if you don't read, buy yourself a Bible. In Samuel, 1 Samuel 20, the story is pretty cool right there. Okay, make notes. Read the Bible. I actually marked the next verse. Anyway, read the whole thing. It's really cool. And the reason why Saul did this, my English is forgetting me now. Just excuse that for a second. Chapter 18, verse 1. So David and Jonathan meet for the first time, and as soon as he's finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David, and his armor, and even his sword, and his bow, and his belt. And David went out to be successful wherever Saul sent him. He made a covenant with David. Big covenant. We see later in that scripture, so please go and read it. We see later in that portion of scripture that they make a covenant again, and when Saul dies, David returns and he keeps that covenant with Jonathan, with the family, with the household, because he makes that covenant. Now, this is a weird story to speak on friendship, but the idea is pretty awesome. I know that Debbie have some of those friendships, right, Debbie? You have some of those friendships that you would keep those promises that we think, is this getting recorded? Off, thank you. We often hesitant to say what I'm about to say. We often hesitant to make those really important promises with our friends. We often hesitant to go to Debia, and I'm sorry that I'm singling him out, but we often hesitant to go to Debia and say, Debia, whatever, my life means nothing. So whatever God has purposed you to do, I lay my life down for that. See, for Jonathan, it was really simple because Jonathan understood that his dad was wrong. So I know that he went against his dad, but he understood that whatever Saul wanted to do was wrong, but it sort of plays out the other way also. Whatever God has purposed Debia to do, I lay my life down. I make that vow. This is still recording. I make that promise. I'm going to keep him accountable. See, I spoke earlier, this is a good mention again. I spoke earlier to Neil, when I saw Facebook again, when I saw that they were engaged, my wife, well, I didn't see that, my wife goes, they're engaged. I go, hallelujah. It's about time. But the second thing is, I'm going. The second thing is, I'm going. Both of them are in good hands. Because I know who Neil's friends are and I know who her friends are. I know that I can probably know one that's not, but most of the guys that Neil has a relationship with, probably all of them, have good, solid marriages. And I'm not speaking about friends that you see them once, probably at McDonald's, or you clicked on a screen and now you're friends for life. I'm not speaking about those friends. I'm speaking about those friends where you go, Debbie destroyed me financially. Help. I'm speaking about those friends. I have to use other people as examples. Excuse this, because I've only recently started to make those friends. But I'm speaking about those friends. I heard this story where I think it was Ross that told me, where they had this guy who were, and now, excuse again if I may lie here, but he was struggling with depression. I think it was the truth. This is the truth. So he was depressed. Yes, it was probably depressed. Anyway, so depressed. And when he had those notions of, he was going through some really terrible stuff, and this normally happens at 3 in the morning, he would phone those people up. He would phone his friends up and go, help. And they would get out of bed, get away from their wife, leave them at home, and drive to this friend's house and go, let's sit and have a chat. That's cool friends, though. I now make a really big effort. You know what I wanted to do? I really wanted to flag my telephone number on there. Anyway, so I make a conscious effort to get certain friends in my life because I'm able to do this now. So I go, and I'm not rejecting anyone that comes, but I'm going, cool, I need a friend that prays for me. I mentioned this last time also. I need a friend that I know is going to pray for me. We all know, when I say friend, they don't necessarily have to look the same as me. It could probably be a Tani that I see often because we know that Tanis can pray. There's a Tani in this church. Oh, my goodness, I love her to bits. But she would send me WhatsApp messages. And she would go, Conrad, this is what I feel the Lord says. And I'm going, oh, my goodness. This is beautiful. So we need those friends. We need those friends. And this could be included in one friend or a group of them, but we need those friends that could keep us accountable. And I mentioned last time that it's not only accountable that I've sinned and fallen into sin, but we know, and I know for a fact in this church, God has called certain people to do certain things that would change the world to go out there. God has... Ooh. So there's people in this church that God has specifically laid on their hearts to do evangelism, to do street evangelism, to go to people and go, hi, have you met Jesus, my Lord and Savior? And the crazy thing is, it's not only as simple as that, God would use them mightily and bring those people to repentance. So there's those, and there's other people that God has called to do certain things in ministry, to go on mission trips, to go and stay in wherever, in India, and to, I'm kidding, that was not a word. But anyway, so to go to those places, but because you don't have friends that don't keep you accountable, you will never go there. Yes, accountability works with sin also, but it's not only that. So the prayer warrior can pray for you. The accountability friend could keep you accountable. The prophet friend, maybe, I don't know, could speak that over your life. But see, the thing is, I don't know if you guys know this. Maybe there's one or two of you that that's not a Christian. But when you, the day that you became a Christian, just remind me before I go, I have that scripture. Before I stop, I should speak about terrible relationships. But the day that you became a Christian, where you said, yes, Jesus, I don't know how you did it. That day, you decided to lay down your life. And yes, you are still supposed to be in the workplace, or you're supposed to be on the mission field, or whatever God has called you to do, but you laid down your life. And that means that you're supposed to surround yourself with Jonathan's or with David's. And the crazy thing is, if you see, look at any Reformation or any Azusa Street revival thing, there's always sort of, I'm going to use this term, a main character. But behind those main characters, you would always see ridiculously cool friends. I'm thinking of a name. I'm not pausing for dramatic effect. Why would I forget his name? Reformation? Luther, yes, Luther. So Luther apparently was very obnoxious, very, I was fail. He would just fight really dirty when he would have a conversation. He was really, really like terrible. But he had specific friends with him. They weren't only mentioned as former reformers with him. They were friends. He would write beautiful stuff about those friends. And when, even in the Bible, we would see Saul do this, but when they would do something wrong, he would write them a letter and go, "Oi, you believe in faith alone? Why are you writing that nonsense? Why are you preaching that nonsense?" What do we see Paul do? Paul writes to the other disciples. He says, "Brothers, listen up. Remember, we started off with Christ alone. Now you're preaching Christ. And what are you, insane and circumcision? What is wrong with you?" So that's what friends does. They don't only do that, because then it becomes really horrible and you feel bad about it. I have those friends. They go, my wife is one of those friends. She would just go, why are you doing that? And I understood that is how she operates. That's her personality. And when she corrects me every 15 minutes, it's okay, because that's what she does in love. But that's what the friends that we need. I have to speak about this, because I wish that someone said this to me. Proverbs 22, it's doors. Proverbs 22, verse 24 to 25. I'm so proud of you that you have Bibles here. Good job.
Who has a Bible?
Here. Well, you're not. Who has a Bible here? Like, just by a show of hands. Well, good job. Proverbs 22, verse 24 to 25. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared. Ensnared. I don't know, it's Afrikaans. I'm all for, and this is why I have now a lot of friends. But I'm all for, if someone has a certain thing that he's struggling with, and he really wants to turn away, so in other words, he wants to repent of that specific thing and turn his wicked ways, then I'm all for those relationships. I'm really, you can ask my wife, I just go, hallelujah, that they're in our house. Hallelujah, that they're in our group of friends. Hallelujah, that we are spending time with them. Because if I weren't allowed to have friends based on certain sins, I would have been in so much trouble. I would have not had any friend. So it does say that, but not bad. It says that, but if the guy does want to repent, then I'm cool for having those friendships. But I've been in those toxic friendships. I've been in those toxic relationships with girls where no one wants to repent. No one wants to do anything about our sin. We're just so cozy in this specific thing. And what happens? All sin leads to death. And again, isolation happens. And then we die. I don't believe that... No, I shouldn't say this. Let me just... Hallelujah. Just because we have an Arminian in the crowd, I cannot say that. If you, yes, you look at by mentions. If you're not Marzan Nil, and you don't have any friends, and you are in a relationship, and your boyfriend or girlfriend don't have any friends, maak 'n plan of loop weg. And if I say maak 'n plan, I'm even willing to put myself out there and my family. Just come to our house and start making friends. Because the thing is, you will not fulfill what God has called you to fulfill if you don't have those friendships around you, because you will be so deceived. You will become deceived. And you will make up, and I have done this, this is why I'm speaking out of experience. You will justify everything. You would even use the Bible. You could use the Bible to justify your actions. Stress this again, because I honestly feel that I need to say this. If you're in a relationship, or if you're entering in a relationship and there is no friends, no accountability, no prayer, you end it. Or you come to me and we have a conversation. Or to Neil, because I know that he has friends. And if you are a Christian and you lay down your life and you don't have any friends, you know that it's not going to end well. You already know it. And I can pray for you, and Debbie can pray for you, and we can lay hands on you. It's not going to work at all. It's not going to work. You can go, and you can stand up. I'm probably preaching to the... I just want to preach on the other side as well. If you have friends, and you notice that there's other people that don't have friends, it's your responsibility to make friends with them. Did you know that? So just go that route. Apparently, Lindy's inviting everyone to her house after the service. You must bring your own snacks, apparently. But guys, it is all fun. And we do long for those relationships. We do long for those brothers in our lives. And we often think that we do have those brothers in our lives. But don't be deceived. If you don't have, I almost want to say a Diabia, if you don't have a Jonathan in your life that you know is praying for you, that you know is... Is it Yevil, Ellen? They will keep each other accountable next time that they're in the service. If you don't have those people in your life, please, I want to beg you almost that start having those relationships. And if it's really difficult, I'm joking about this also, but I really do mean it. Please, find me, not on social media. Find my telephone, phone the church office, I'll give my telephone number. And just send me a message. And then I'll invite you to our house. You don't have to bring your own snacks.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.